Welcome. This is William Evans, and you are listening to Shifting Gears. Our guest today is Brooke Levan, co-founder of Sustainable Settings, making his annual New Year report to KDNK on the condition of the ranch and the state of the world. Welcome, Brooke.
Hey, Will. Good to be here.
Good to have you. What did you learn this year?
Lots of stuff. I've been doing more consulting lately.
Good.
And people are hearing about what we've been doing the last 24 years and are curious about how we might rediscover other levels of fertility and nutrient density and tighten up and even rediscover our relationships with all of the life that we co-create with. And so I just got back from California, and two different consults. One of them was 33 acres of a redwood forest burn.
Wow.
And they lost everything to the fire. And Nor and Deborah, very creative people. Deborah is a director of a theater group in San Francisco. And Nor is a brilliant and talented carpenter, craftsman, furniture and high quality stuff. And lots of stories there. But we drove into that place. And as we did, we drove through char. Their mailbox was melted at the front of the driveway, just dripping. Power lines burnt, wells burnt, you know, pumps and things. And then up into their place, the houses, in the 3 or 4 day charrette, design discovery charrette that I facilitated for them with other stakeholders, kind of to rediscover what is the opportunity now, you know, because everything's gone.
Wow.
We were drawing on the plat, and he no longer drew a rectangle. He just drew kind of a circle where the house is, because now it's a circle of ash and glass. And
the house burned as well.
Oh, yeah, total. And the shop. And the storage of all of his work from all those years.
Wow.
He opened the door to that storage unit, and all his work was just reduced to char. Just had cooked inside of that shelter.
What a metaphor for starting over on the new year.
Yeah, yeah. And then the other one, there's lots going on there, but, you know, grieving. And also them asking me, who am I? And as an artist, too, I get it. But I also understand that what we've done and where we've been isn't who we are, you know. Our work that has come through us is not who we are. It's where we've been. And so we worked through a lot of tough territory there, but he came out on top of that. And we began to really, the last day of this thing, I'm standing down in this gully and surrounded by downed redwoods and big pines and just blackened, you know, char. And they're smiling and laughing and talking about what's next and what a possibility and what an opportunity it was to start over.
Would it be appropriate to ask you to share who he is now?
Well, I mean, you have to ask him that, but there was a definite transformation. I mean, fire is about transformation.
It certainly is.
It's alchemical. It's the way
burns away illusions.
Yeah, there you go. And so lots there, but then also working with Alex and Todd, and Alex has this drive in her for the last couple, 10, 15 years. And they live in Beverly Hills. He's a Hollywood guy, and she's she has this drive to get to the land. And so the voice, I told her, she is, what do you call it when you're pregnant? She's in labor with this need to get to the land and to get back in relationship. And so Todd recognizes that. And so I'm helping them look for land. It's been a magical search because we're allowed on the people's property to, it's not ours yet. Like the first group, we could do a level of work there to get back in touch. But with these, it was a little different. It's okay to talk about, but we found in the Granite Creek, you know, down by a pond near the house, the current house, we found grinding bowls in the stone, you know, grinding. The ancients ground their grains there. And so this has been inhabited for thousands of years, this property.
So you looked at and visited and touched keystone species food preparation processes.
Yes, we did. And we also went up high into the oak savanna and found burial ground. And so the place was magic.
Still alive with that quality of being.
Yeah, and welcoming her and her intention because it was clear. There's a humility there. Otherwise, I'm not interested in working with them, you know, if they don't come in and say, hey, I know I need to do this, but I don't know how to do it. And so then that's the first gate for me. If they come in and want to bulldoze and, you know, throw up a subdivision or something, I'm not interested.
Any personal changes for you as a result of working with people who've lost everything and are being reinvented?
Well, the work is always teaching us, or teaching me. I mean, I get paid to be a consultant to help people do this, but I come away with so much more than any kind of financial compensation. Each place, this is not a bag of tricks and formulaic work, you know, each place speaks in its own way. And so what the work at Sustainable Settings has been over these last 20 some years has really taught me and us how to open our senses and to become really the super sensible beings that we are.
Yeah, sensitivity is the it's the doorway to a new perception.
Yeah.
And a new relationship.
Absolutely. And I mean, once you get a hold of it, once you taste it or feel it, I don't know why everybody doesn't do it.
Well, it involves slowing down.
It does. And the listening part is not something we're taught in our educational system, I don't think.
Boy, that's certainly where I ended up with the power of listening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, like I douse. I use copper rods, and I'm not a pendulum user, or other people use the, what's that called?
Muscle testing.
Muscle testing. And now I'm dowsing without the rods because I figured out my body reacts in a certain way and I can get a message, a yes or a no. This has taught me basically how to ask questions to the unseen and to the things that we're not schooled in and that don't necessarily come in through the five senses we're taught we have, that all we have. There have been many others that say we have up to 12. We could go over that, but
I'm most interested in how that has manifested in your relationship with yourself and Mother Nature and Father Sky.
Yeah. Well, it's a practice and it's a learning, and so.
And it's ancient.
It's ancient, but we're held up, you know. I always tell the interns, you know, be careful of what you know. It might get in your way.
The blur between education and brainwashing was really skillfully done here.
Well, it was brought to a new height the last few years. So call me crazy if you want, but the view from my window is that we can talk to things that we don't understand, and we can talk to our soil and talk to our farms and our animals. By that, putting talk in quotes, there is a way to listen, and they are our partners. I know the indigenous say they're their relatives, and I get that. So, and they're talking to us all the time. The real miracle for me is that they are still there waiting to talk to us. What, after all we've done, beat them up, poison them, and, you know, everything. We don't have to go down the list. Greed and, you know, manipulation and bulldoze this and that, everything. The real miracle is that they're still there waiting to patient. They're patiently waiting for us to work with them again. And they're so glad to see you when you show up. It's remarkable. There's phenomenon that happens on these visits and at the ranch when we work in a humble effort to reestablish harmony and balance that basically we put out of, you know, we're the ones that can throw it out of balance. I know your work in your new book, Circulating Source Water, you get into some of this stuff about our identity and about these issues of who we are and understanding who we are and how important that is in our relationships. And in particular, I think chapter 9 is good for those of you. Anybody listening here, check out Will's new book, Circulating Source Water. Can they get that on Amazon or where?
It's available online. It's available at your store at Sustainable Settings, and yeah, it's available at Mana Foods here,
okay,
in Carbondale. And Ingram has it as well, and they're the people who supply bookstores.
Yeah. Well, I recommend it, folks. There's a lot of wisdom in there, a lot of stories. And by the way, this is the storytelling moon, you know. Some call it that.
Yes, well, that's the time you're pretty much in camp.
Yeah.
And around the fire to stay warm and survive. And that's when a lot of the teaching about what we call keystone species occurred, and children grew up living into that relationship, never doubting it, always just finding their unique way.
There's the magic, or there's the portal to the magic. I'm interested in the miraculous, and it's all around us if we're watching and paying attention.
Every morning.
Yeah.
New beginning.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm talking about phenomenon that happens in our place or in our work. And our will, our understanding of who we are and our will is an important tool. And it's a mechanism for us in this dialogue with nature. And we actually are a tool in a way. And we, through us and through our intention, we can stimulate and or help co-create a greater harmony and balance. And so this is the, for me, you talk about keystone and human beings being keystone species. Those scientists are wrong that you write about, you know, and you bring that up, but to me they are anyway. I give you my opinion. They see humans have to stay out of nature.
Well, that's a result of the education they were subjected to that did not honor their unique identity and didn't adequately acknowledge and greet the phenomenon of nature.
See, the more I work, the more I understand that this is our job.
Oh, it is. It's who we are.
Yeah.
And it's great fun.
Oh, it's a blast.
And the kids come alive with it. And it's interesting how the scientists doubted it when I would ask them they knew human keystone species or they believed it were even potentially possible. And when I would talk to indigenous people, they would just start with stories, and one after another, because that's all they heard were how someone did that, and it empowered them with the reality, I can do that. I can listen to the tree. I can listen to the salmon and pay attention to what they're telling me.
Yeah.
This is KDNK, and you're listening to a New Year conversation with Brooke LeVan about the new beginning of this year, and particularly about the potential for us as humans to be keystone species.
You know, I don't want to spend time dwelling on what the problems are, because we got a lot of good work to do, but you brought up how, and so we went from asking why to asking how. The indigenous ask why, and now we ask how. So how leads to reductionism and disconnection. So why leads us into consciousness and relationship. That's my thinking anyway. So, you know, we find what we're looking for. They say science always finds what it's looking for. So if we make a theoretical construct and then we have a hypothesis, well, we're going to try to justify our theory, and we find what we want to find to basically keep our jobs. But they say it takes a funeral for a theory and science to change. And so, but letting go in the educational part you brought up is really important. We have to unlearn a lot. People show up, and I had a fella ask me for a resume the other day, and I said, well, I probably haven't touched one in 20 years. He said, I don't care, send me what you got. Well, I looked it up, and it was 1999 was the last time I even recorded.
What you were doing.
What we were doing. And so who knows what he did with that? Because it's the last 5 years that things have exponentially taken off, probably for me. Maybe 10 years, but. So.
Well, the young people are certainly hungry for something different and something beyond the education they've been given.
Yeah. Well, we have these workshops, and I go out and do this other work and consult, and I work with people, and I get them dowsing, and I get them asking, you know, questions about what the land wants, you know, and who is the land, and who are the trees, and who is the water, you know, and get them thinking more in verb than in noun, meaning verbs are alive and active, and nouns are dead objects. And so our language is loaded predominantly noun, and we look at things as things, as maybe not living. And the indigenous and others look at the verb, and they might call it watering, not water.
Yeah, one of my indigenous teachers told me that my purpose as a creature is to work with change in a beneficial way. And this is one of my gifts as a human being. Work with change in a beneficial way.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. We're not, it's not locked up, it's not comfortable, it's not fixed. So we're in a dynamic, right? So how do we navigate that? How does ourself, our being, navigate that? And it's possible and it's doable, but we have to be in the dynamic flow.
Well, and
trust.
You know, when you're in the current on the river, you travel with a constant humility because you don't know what is around the next bend, and you don't know what that louder rapid you can hear around the corner is going to be like and what it's going to say to you.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there humility kind of fosters a more attentive listening.
Yeah, I'd say it's one of the roots of it. I keep going back lately to this, to what happens when we work in this way. And it might just be a glimpse in Europe. You have years on the rivers and kayaking and soloing out there and things, and so you may, this may resonate for you, and you may have your own examples, but we're working with our intentions on a level in agriculture that allow for or tap into other levels of our being. So yes, we're physical, knock on wood, you know, physical stuff that we all can see and talk about, but we also have an etheric body, and everything does. Trees have an etheric body, right? Plants and the life does. And so this would be closer to what folks call auras or things like that. There's energy we all are putting out. And so I can get in your personal space, right? Even from here, right? And you can feel me. Or, so that's etheric. And then we have soul and spirit. And those are hard to distinguish. But I know Rudolf Steiner gave it an interesting example to help people understand that. He said, well, here's a cup. Here's a ceramic cup. And it is physical, right? It's a container. And we put inside of it the oil, the fuel. And that's the etheric. And then there's a wick, and we light the flame, and the flame is the soul. And the light from the flame is the spirit. And so we have all of those qualities in us, and these are all part of our being, and what we're working on and have been experimenting with at Sustainable Settings is how do we get that nutrition, that nourishment of those four levels back into our food to feed the whole human being. And this is what's missing with most food in the marketplace. It's purely physical, very little low etheric, and forget soul and spirit. The intention behind it isn't there. And so one of the key problems is our nutrition. And you can say it's, and that's experience in the wild and in nature. That's another form of nourishment. But it's also in what we are eating and drinking, the quality of our water.
Yeah, this year I've learned that the central characters, the protagonists of a living world story, are a unity of keystone species, each one unique, in continual cooperation and conversation with Mother Nature.
It's a relationship.
It's a big relationship, and it's humbling and it's energizing. It really, it feeds the fire you're speaking of.
In helping people in our workshops or in consults on the land, or, it's especially powerful when I'm with someone on their land, and it may be multi-generational. And I just took a note of this pattern just last week, that when I'll do certain exercises with them to help them get in touch, which are too much to describe now, but. And I was out 3 years ago with a rancher in Nevada. He's got about 30,000 acres out there. He's third or fourth generation. The kids are fourth generation. He's third. And he came to me after a talk at the Utah Farm Conference. We gave a talk, and he said, if what you're talking about works, he said, I need to understand it, because the most important thing for me is to pass this land on to my children. So there's a legacy, or there is a continuity.
And a sense of the priceless value.
That's right. Something you cannot buy.
Right.
And so he said to me, you know, if this works, I want to try it, because right now I know I'm passing on toxicity and debt. I'm not passing on. It's not a gift.
And he's able to turn around and say, what I'm doing isn't working, and I'm going to go back out to that land in a new relationship.
That's right.
Thank you, Brooke. You've been listening to a conversation with Brooke Levan about Keystone Species. This is KDNK. Thank you for listening. Oh.